Hello, hello, everybody. It's 5:18 p.m. Central Time on the 21st of November, 2022. It's Monday here in the United States. Hope you're doing well. We are here on the Earthquake 3D live stream to talk about seismic events which have struck since my last update, a few days ago at this point. Taking a few days just to let things sink in, and of course, we're waiting for that large earthquake activity to spread out from the West Pacific. It looks like it's starting to happen now. Let me take you over and show you what's happened since my last update. So in my last update, we were talking about the 7.0 range earthquake, 6.9, which struck here off the coast of Sumatra, Indonesia. Now, since then, this is what's happened. We'll get this earthquake out of there and look at all the 5.0 plus. And it's just been phenomenal. Multiple large earthquakes have struck in Java, about 500 miles east on the plate boundary. Separate earthquakes causing devastating damage, way more damage than the seven that struck out here out off the coast of Sumatra. And of course, that's because it's on land. But many people telling me, and again, these are from local people, people in Indonesia, it had to be in the 6 plus range, maybe even up to 6.5. The amount of damage is insane. So, huge earthquake, they downgraded it, whatever. It's two large earthquakes side by side, 500 or more miles apart. Now, let me show you where they happened. It's going to make a little bit more sense here in about 2 seconds. See the activity in the West Pacific for the last 24 hours. Look at our stepping stone path of earthquakes leading over to where our break happened today here at Java. Now, 2 days ago, or almost 3 days ago, the 7.0 over here at Sumatra. Now, when that struck, I talked about the potential flowing out to China or reflecting back into itself. Reflecting back into itself bounces around back here in the plate boundary, the edge of the Indo-Australian plate. That's what's going on now. We have a standing wave situation taking place where literally a wave is building in a closed tank, if you will. Well, the tank is somewhat open. It can still go out up to Japan. We'll talk about that in a second. But we're centered here on the plate boundary, going as far west as Afghanistan and reflecting back into ourselves and going back up as far north where a new earthquake just struck as I'm talking here. A 5.1 up at Kamchatka. Now look at the spacing on this. Going up to Kamchatka, 5.1 just struck, and down here we have a 5.2. Now these are just hours apart in the same day, and the spread on here is doing the same thing that these are doing, but it's further apart. We're talking about a longer wave. Think of the peak of each wave. So peak, valley, peak, valley. Peak valley or peak trough, peak trough, peak trough, all the way over to Alaska. And that's what we're dealing with now going across the North Pacific. So multiple fives striking across in a stepping stone path going to off the coast of the United States. 5.2. This one was a 6 for a minute last night, right before I went to bed. 6.0, they downgraded it to 5.5. On both sides of it, of course, 5.2 and a 5.3, a 5.4. It's all the same size is what I'm getting at. Whether we're here in the West Pacific, whether we're here in the North Pacific, within the same hair of a point of one another, going around the whole plate in a day. And that takes a lot of energy to displace the whole Pacific in a day on a 5.0 basis. So back to it, a huge earthquake. And again, it's up for debate on what size this was. I don't trust 5.6 at all. So for my people in Indonesia, you have to understand, and I'm not trying to gloat or trying to, you know, beat my chest and brag or anything. You had a 7-day warning for this. And I'll take you over to my community page and show you. You had a 7-day warning for this right here on the 14th. Today is the 21st. It's been 7 days. And on the 14th is when I issued the warning at about 16 minutes into the video. I'm talking about reflecting from Afghanistan back into Indonesia, and I said it would change the location from the S-shape plate boundary where the two letter D's are and bring it over to Java right here. That's where I said. I said, well, all it'll do is shift it over to the west, and it did. So we shifted over to the west. Again, you had a 7-day warning for this. Now, what do you do for 7 days? You watch out for the large earthquake. You make preparations. You have your stuff by the door. If you live in a stone stack house, you sleep by the door. You don't sleep outside. You sleep by the door. And when the earthquake hits, you head right on out that door. If you're in a stone stack structure over in Indonesia. Here in the United States, it's recommended to shelter in place and get underneath a table or a desk because of the structures that we build here being somewhat more earthquake resistant. Not completely, but stone stack structures in Indonesia, when a large earthquake strikes, I don't have to tell you, don't withstand the earthquake. Most stone does not. Cinder block, brick, and so forth. Reinforced concrete is slightly different. You'd be better off in a reinforced concrete building than in a cinder block building, but that's not saying much. Now, going over to the west, we have a big silent zone in China, but then that cluster I told you about at Afghanistan, where we're reflecting back, the wave itself reflecting back. Now, I would like to take you over to something else, over to my Rumble page. Yes, I've got a Rumble page, and it doesn't matter. All I want to show you is this, the standing wave videos back, guys. So what I think is going on here with this standing wave down below the plates, hammering up, is this a concentric standing wave where it focuses in on itself. So, where it focuses in on itself. And then a standing wave then spreads through the tank, which I will show you here. And it hits off one end and reflects into itself, back into itself. And as it does, the amplitude increases, the magnitude of the wave, the power of the wave. And look at the spacing. I can just park my mouse over the center of the screen here and notice the peaks come up and touch the tip of the mouse, and then the valley comes up and touches the tip of the mouse. It's a perfect distribution through the tank of a standing wave. And the more you pump energy in and the more it reflects back into itself, the more it builds. Now we get back over here and we have the same thing going on. That's what just happened in Indonesia over the past few days. The standing wave went all the way over to Afghanistan, reflected back with a bunch of activity, and back into itself. But now it's trying to make its way out even further. It's like a game of leapfrog. As it's going out away, it's coming back, but it's still going out away even further each time. The standing wave is sloshing through the tank back and forth, dropping off earthquakes along the way. Now, I do have an update for my New Zealand viewers and my Aussie viewers down in Australia here and over in New Zealand. So North Island was hit, mid-range 4, deep earthquake, 257 kilometers deep, meaning we have to watch for the potential of one magnitude larger earthquake on the North Island. No duh, that's what the warning's for. In Northwest Australia, we're up here by the old lava flows again, coming in with a 4.5 from the northwest. This means Perth, Adelaide, Tasmania, and even possibly as far to the south by southeast down to the Dutch Sense logo. And we have to watch for threes going across the plate, possibly a 4 down to the southeast this time. So down by Melbourne or Adelaide, Kangaroo Island. So watch for that 4.0 level activity. It's enough to get actually people's attention. Coming in from the northwest, whenever this arrow gets hit, you watch down to the west, down by Perth, and down to the east by southeast. Okay? And if anything else comes in, I will let you know. Of course, you'll know probably before I will, but heading out towards Europe. Hey, check it out. Fry Greece got hit. Fry Greece. F-R-Y. Fry Greece. Greasy fries. The USGS is so lame, guys. I'm telling you, somebody at the USGS is trolling by doing that. I measured. It's not the nearest town. Not even close. So them choosing Fry Greece as the location is like being a smartass. Now, I issued a warning for a 5.5 to 6.0 earthquake to strike here in Greece today, to hit by today, and it hit. So when they listed it as fried Greece, I'm just like, what? But anyway, we also warned up in Italy. Now, I warned Campobasso originally, then the 3.0 hit in Campobasso, and I left it in comment form and made several posts about this and talked about it on my stream, shifting the area back north up to the area previously that broke next to Norcia, or just north of Norcia, 70 miles. And that's exactly what's happened. Campobasso got hit by a 3, shifted the area warned north for the 5 that I was looking for, and a 4.7 came rolling in. Then, to seal the deal that we're dealing with the same-sized earthquakes going out across Europe all the way out to the Mid-Atlantic Ridge, same-sized earthquake struck just a few hours back on the letter X next to the Azores. Now look at all the other activity that struck over the past day and a half. You'll see it. It's going out across Europe up to the English Channel, down through France, Spain, down through Africa, 4.1, and this all goes right across the plate boundaries yet again. Let me take you back to the plate boundary map one more time. Again, even the untrained eye should be able to see it here on the USGS map, the stepping stone path. But it goes all the way out over to Europe, and look, USGS doesn't have anything there for the last 24 hours. Whoops. Whoopsie. All right, you know, get over here. All right, that's a Mortal Kombat joke, but guys, they're missing all this activity. So the USGS, the average USGS user, is totally an ignoramus. I mean, when it comes to earthquake. Which is funny because it's the USGS site. But they're totally ignorant. They're like, don't have any idea what's going on. They have no idea there's a flow going across Europe right now. They go over and check the site. It literally tells them nothing's hit for the day. Meanwhile, you want to change your overlay and see what the deal is. They only give you a one-day choice, a seven-day choice, and a 30-day choice. Or you can search the catalog for, you know, custom search or something. But they would have to know what to search to see it. They'd have to know to search 48 hours to see the spread that they don't know is happening because the USGS isn't showing them more than just a pittance of earthquakes. Hey, wait a second. When did this hit? An earthquake just hit down here? Hold on. This one hit at 10:05 UTC. This one hit at 21:44 UTC. You gotta be kidding me. Okay, all right. Well, hey, I missed it. All right, check it out, guys. An earthquake struck down here in Southeast Australia. First this one hit, the 4.5, then this one hit. An hour ago, 2 hours ago. Wow. Dang. All right, well, check that one off the list, I guess. I guess it already happened. All right, so watch down in Perth and watch down at the Dutch Sense logo. And there's your threes going across your plate. Again, that one struck at 21:44 and 10 hours earlier or 11 hours earlier. First the 4.5 struck. Then 11 hours later, the 3.2 struck. All right, let's talk about this. USA! USA! Check it out, guys. A spread came in coming from Alaska going right next to Bogoslav Volcano. Let me zoom in and show you. See the letter V there? That's Bogoslav Volcano. Bogoslav Volcano was the topic of discussion in my last video. My forecast video, I mean. For Alaska. So we were talking about the peninsula. We were talking about watching out here. I was talking about watching whether we were going to hear or go out past in between our current sets of earthquakes. Mentioned Bogoslav Volcano in particular. Now here we are. Bogoslav was hit by a 6. They downgraded it to 5.5. Whatever. I saw it myself, a 6 on the screen before I went to bed last night. Anyway, that struck at 15:09 UTC. Then move forward a few hours. Or no, I'm sorry, move forward 30 minutes, and at 15:42 UTC, this struck on the west coast of the United States. So first a 6 up in Alaska, then a 5-point-something earthquake in the fracture zone, the Juan de Fuca fracture zone, out off the coast of Oregon, 30 minutes later. This one first, then this one. And really, you could go back and say, first this one, then this one, then this one. Even though these are the most recent earthquakes, the white ones, we go back yesterday and you see there's another 5.1 from yesterday in pink. So first, 5 yesterday, then 6, then 5. Biggest in the middle, the 6, up in Alaska. Sandwiched in between as we're coming across at the warned area. Now, I do wonder about this quake, the one off the coast of Oregon. I wonder if it was bigger. Let's go see. Let's go see what the deal is. They're not showing us how they're coming to their weighted whatever But let's go down and look at the, oh wow, look at this. Local stations all showing fours. Body magnitude showing five. How big is it going on the body? Look, it's going up to six. I'll be damned, 5.9. Wow, okay, we're gonna throw out the 5.9s, that's the high end, and we're gonna throw out the low end, of course, two, which is five. 5 to 5.1 to 5.2. And that leaves us with 5.5 to 5.7 in the middle. Let's just see if there's any sixes on the list. If there's a bunch of sixes, then I'll really start to think something weird is going on. But no, no, no. We're all staying in that five-ish. Oh, no, no, no. Bup, bup. I stand corrected. We're starting to get into the sixes there. There's at least a few. But we throw those out. And all that does, really, is if you really want to, you can just throw out the fours and the upper fives into sixes, and that still leaves us with 5.5 to 5.7. Why does that matter if it's a 5.5? Three of the same size quakes. Because, again, we got a 5.4 up here in, we got a 5.4 to 5.5 here at Kamchatka, a 5.5 here at Alaska, and a 5.5 down here on the coast of the United States. That's why it matters. That's why it matters, guys. It's the standing wave that I told you about, with the equal-sized waves going through the tank, spreading out across a huge distance. Standing wave going across this, going across the plate boundary down in the United States. And it's going to be absorbed by the North American Craton. I have a warning going. This now fulfills the warning for the Northwest United States. Well, actually, hold on. Before I say that, I was looking off the coast of California and Oregon right here at the border. I'm trying to get it down to 200 miles. I'm just wondering, I'm thinking that's more than 200 miles out in the ocean. The only way to know is to measure. So let's go get the coordinates and just take a quick measurement, see how far off I am. Because again, I was warning for mid-range five off the coast, and I, you know, said, would they report it or not, and all this other crap. So I just wanna see how far off I am. If I'm warning right here, and it hits there, that's the earthquake we're looking for. It's just, let's go see. Ah, 193. I'm trying to get it down to 200 miles. That is the earthquake we're looking for. Okay. So now that that hit, and I told everybody I wasn't going to issue any warning for California until this earthquake hits, I'm going to issue two warnings. One, California-Nevada border at Long Valley. That's the spot to watch. We're going to watch for 5.0 level activity. We're also simultaneously going to be watching down at the California-Nevada border by Yubihibi Craters for a second earthquake. That's right out here, right at the border, in the east side of the desert, really, just right at the border of California-Nevada. And we'll watch there for 4.9. So two fives we're going to watch in California, central and south. Then over to the east, Oklahoma is going to get hit this week. Texas got hit this past week with the largest earthquake in almost 100 years. I think the same thing's going to happen for Oklahoma. It's going to be coming in on the edge of the Craton, which is on the screen here. And let me make sure that turns off. But we're going to be watching on the edge of the Craton going over into Oklahoma. Coming out of Texas, Texas has already been hit. Panhandle going up into central Oklahoma, right at the Texas-Oklahoma border region, right here, where the arrow is. We're also going to be watching on the New Madrid seismic zone again this week. This could get pretty big for us here. It might be the biggest earthquake in decades for the New Madrid seismic zone. How big? Could go as big as in Texas, but I'll put it a half magnitude less. So that puts us to
4.9.
Over on the East Coast, Virginia did not get hit. Today is the last day of the warning. Everywhere else along the East Coast got hit in the warned areas. Georgia, check it off the list. Vermont, New Hampshire, check it off the list. But the five that I was looking for to strike over in Virginia has not struck yet, prompting me to issue the warning for the New Madrid seismic zone. And as if we needed any more proof, look at the fours and fives going across the plate. Fives down to fours, down to threes. Notice anything? Threes start to really show it. We start moving up in the northeast, and then twos connect in between. Now, there's so many numbers on the screen here. Let me turn down the rings, too, so you can even see this. This is 7 days worth of earthquakes. So, I mean, it's, again, just 1 week's worth of earthquakes here. We go across the west coast, down across the edge of the Craton, down through Texas, back through Oklahoma, back to the New Madrid seismic zone, and up the East Coast. So it matches perfectly the edge of the craton. There's a flow going across the North American plate, for instance, that professionals all missed and said it was impossible. When I tried to show it to them, they actually called for me to get arrested and shut down. This actually happened. This isn't the Dark Ages. Well, it is. What, long, dark winter, right? Long, dark 4 years, right? All right. Back to it now. Let's get back into it. Big earthquake now, guys. Seriously, like big earthquake activity in the West Pacific overall with the sevens, the deep earthquakes, my 7 to 14 day watch. I normally issue 7 to 10 days. In this case, it's 7 to 14 days. We still have about 4 to 5 days to go in the watch, and it's taking place as expected. Indonesia's been hit. Next stop, Japan. Next stop, Asia. Then Europe. Then the United States. And Central and South America. I haven't even talked about Central and South America. If you guys want to know what areas are warned, my forecast still stands. I will link it down below in the description. It's an hour long to cover each area and tell everybody what to watch for. So if you want to recap on the forecast, you can literally go watch the forecast and fast forward it to your part of the area, part of the world, to hear what the warning is. Warnings are. Several have been hit. Again, I'm keeping track on my community page on YouTube for the areas that are being hit as the spread is taking place. Currently, the spread has reached all the way to the United States. The way I want you to look at this and what I want you to take away from this is a few things. I'm going to show you 5.0 and greater, or 4.9 and greater, over the last 7 days. And we'll back it out so you can see it. That's a lot. The spread goes in a giant S-shaped pattern up and around over into the United States. You see it, right? We originated over here with a bunch of deep earthquake activity that came up from below the plate. You can see that this is the origin point. And then spreading out away, up and around, over in the United States. And we're waiting for this to go over to Europe through Asia. I mean, it already is. The first precursor waves have reached all the way out to Europe and back. And reflecting into each other. Now, like in that wave tank that I was showing you at the start of this video. So it's not done yet. We still have several more days to go in the watch. Watches, plural. Indonesia, you can check off the list. This means Japan's going to go. Asia's going to go in the path following the arrows. And the forecast magnitudes all stand. Now in Greece, you got your 5.5 to 6.0 earthquake from the previous push, which has now reached all the way out to the Mid-Atlantic Ridge, going through Italy. But a new push is coming, and it's huge. It's still stuck in the West Pacific right now, reflecting back into itself at Afghanistan. So once it reaches out, you'll know it. You're going to go up a whole magnitude from where we are now. If you're at 5.5 now in Europe, you're going to go up to 6.5. And if you're at 4.7 here in Italy, you're going to go back up to 5.7, near 6.0 again, by the end of this coming week, as the wave reaches you. So today is Monday, and I said by the end of the week, so that will put us into Friday, Saturday, and there we go. That's right at the end of the forecast, 14 days. Forecast issued on the 11th, so 14-day forecast, boom, 25th. It puts us right down to the last day of the forecast for reaching out to Europe and reaching out over to Central and South America, which again, I haven't even really talked about in this update. Other than to let you know, Central and South America are also due. We have a big open silent zone in the middle of South America where we're normally seismically prone. I have not checked the Volcanic Ash Advisory Center in any videos in a long time. Let's go take a look and see what's going on. Nevado del Ruiz volcano in Colombia, Popocatépetl Patal down in Mexico, Sabancaya in Peru, Sanjay in Ecuador, Fuego in Guatemala. Boy, this is all Central and South America, isn't it? Let's just go down the list a little bit more. Sakurajima in Japan's the only one that's not. Dang. Really? Dukono from yesterday? And that's it? All right. This is somewhat of a change, guys. So, no eruptive activity anywhere across the West Pacific. I'll get to Indonesia's volcanic earthquake in a second. The earthquake at a volcano. That's where the earthquake struck in Indonesia. But meanwhile, over here, Central America, Popocatépetl, Fuego, then going down here, Nevado del Ruiz and Sabancaya. So the only eruptive activity with flight advisories issued is in Central and South America. That lets us know something's coming to Central South America. Big. Big. The volcanoes go first. Just like in Indonesia. It was going in Indonesia with Semeru and Ibu and Dukono, and all, they were all going. And now it's kind of died out. Now, finally, final point on this, and I did not look up this earthquake epicenter over in Java, but word reached me that there was a volcano at the location. I don't know the name of the volcano. The only way to find out is to look it up, but let's go see. Now, it doesn't mean this volcano is going to erupt, whatever the name of the volcano is. However, it's a sign that the flow, the seismic flow, is coming into the area. Do you follow what I'm saying? Okay, there it is. I've never heard of this volcano before. Jade, G-E-D-E, Pangrango? It's either Pangrango or Pangrango. Jade Pangrango. The two peaks of the Jade Pangrango volcanic complex overlook the major cities of Shanzhur and Bogor, situated to the east and south, northwest, respectively. The summit of the Gunung Pangrango, constructed over the northeast rim of a 3-by-5-kilometer caldera, forms the high point. Many lava flows are visible on the flanks of the younger Gunung Jade to the southeast of the Pangrango. Steep-walled summit crater has migrated about a kilometer north-northwest over time, blah, 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 blah. Now, we're going to go down here and just take a quick look. What's going on all there? Looks like these are all eruptive points in the past. Look at this. Look at all these small buttes. Do you see this? You know what's down below here? A magma chamber. And that's what's coming up. These are all lava flows. These are all small eruptions. Laccoliths, if you will. That's a huge laccolith field. Look at this. One more time. Look at all these. And look, they've all got their houses built right at the base of each one. You know what? Hey, I bet you could dig in and get some geothermal, no problem. Anyway, the bigger volcano is here. And I'm just going to guess that the magma chamber that feeds it comes from over here. And comes up underneath all of this. That would explain all the bulging laccoliths there. I've never seen anything like that. That, in all the places, the only other place you might see something like this is Mexico. You want to see it in Mexico? Let's go show you Mexico just so you can see what it looks like down there. Compare. They're along the same lines just when it comes to... Here we go. So this is Mexico. And you see that they erupt in Mexico more. So in Mexico, they do this. And there are, look how many there are. There's just thousands of them. And they go on for miles and miles and miles. And people live in them. They'll build their house in the middle of the crater or do their farming in the middle of the crater. Anyway, that's Mexico. And it just goes on and on and on. All of these are volcanoes and volcanic field inside of there. So, back to it. Earthquakes hit there. Are you shocked? Deformation. Now, why would earthquakes hit there? That wave that I showed you at the start of this, the wave, which I don't even have here open anymore, this thing, this standing wave spreading through the tank reaches the magma chambers, and you can imagine what happens when a very low frequency wave passes through a magma chamber. When the peaks come up, I'm guessing when the peaks come up, I have to guess on that, could be at the lowest point too, but I think it's at the highest point. Comes hammering in, we get a new 5-point-something earthquake, 5.6, and it'll be 5.6, 5.6, 5.6, 5.6, all the way across the plate. Following the plate like a waveguide. Getting back to the USGS map here. Following this red line like the tank. And now you understand. So in this case, we have 4.4, 4.6, 4.8, 4.8, 4.9, 4.3, 4.5, and 4.9. They're all about the same. Again, imagine those as waves through an uneven tank. Whereas this tank is perfectly rectangular, the one I'm showing you again, the concentric wave tank, in a laboratory, that the red line that I just showed you from the plates is all uneven and jagged, but we're still getting the distribution of the standing wave spreading through the tank. Isn't that wild? That's one of my other biggest discoveries. So that the flow is going around plates, the wave is going around things, and that wave is dropping off earthquakes along the way, all the same size. It's the force that's causing the earthquakes, guaranteed. Some kind of VLF standing wave passing through the plate boundaries, electrically induced. Electrical, but moving like an actual wave through a river or a tank. It'll go around things as opposed to brute force directly as the crow flies. So in other words, if we get an earthquake here on the west coast of the United States and the wave is going across the United States, it doesn't just go straight across. It goes down and around the bends of the plate, path of least resistance, like it's physically flowing. But yet it's electrical in nature. And the way we know it's electrical in nature, I'm just going to take you over to my community page and show you one thing that I've made a post on that I think is one of the more phenomenal things that I just stumbled across. Which, well, these awesome pictures, right? There, this post right here. Look at what we have here. A guy may have accidentally found the missing link years ago. Incoming ground currents on a regular basis with spacing almost perfect. Let's go over to his post. And what did he find? This guy just, a long time ago, look at his computer setup, found these currents in the ground, electrical in nature. And he says he doesn't know where they're coming from, and they're coming in at irregular but regularly spaced, and he thought it was some kind of military communication. That's what he thought. And this is the antenna. Look at it. Oh, wait. You guys didn't hear any of that? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. How long was I cut out? How long was I cut out? My goodness, how long was I off? Was I off? People are telling me they couldn't hear me. How long was I shut off? I don't know how long I was off. Was I off? You heard it all? People are messaging me telling me that my audio shut off on the stream. I can't believe it. If it did shut off, I apologize, guys. This is not me. That would be somebody shutting me off. I am not doing it. I'm holding my microphone. And it's not unplugged. The microphone is completely plugged in. So if you're shutting off and your audio shut off on Twitch, that is somebody hitting your audio so you cannot hear. I have no control over it. I cannot believe that. Okay, anyway. All right, so here's the antenna he made. And he set it on the ground. Now, I propose this. You would need to bury the whole thing to really pick it up. But he's got the leads going down into the ground. He's showing how to do it. A coil antenna with 400 turns, 175 centimeters, and he even gives how to make the circuit. Let me show it to you down here below. How to make it. So, what did he detect? Some kind of intermittent, perfectly spaced signal in the ground that's electrical in nature, but radio wave, and he surmised that it might be submarine communications or something. No, I think what he was picking up was the incoming seismic flow passing through an area that's very low frequency in nature, or greater, actually ELF is what this is, extremely low frequency, more than VLF. But he gives how to do it. And I think if we buried these, we would be able to see the wave arriving and reflecting back into itself and building an amplitude and then find the break point. Like we'd see what threshold it reaches when it finally breaks with a quake, as opposed to just the wave reflecting into itself over and over again. But electrical in nature, what is that? Piezoelectric? Electric in the plate. So back to it, guys, one more time. Standing waves spreading out from where our deep earthquakes are happening. And that's why we have to pay attention to where the deep earthquakes are raised high off the globe, because the deep earthquakes tend to be followed by shallower, larger earthquakes, up to about a magnitude larger. So with a deep 5.2 here down below Japan, I would warn Japan for a shallow 6.2 to come up very soon in between our current sets of quakes. This puts Tokyo and the coast of Honshu back in the mix again for a new 6.2. Just an example, one of many, when a deep earthquake hammers up from down below. Then we watch for a shallower, larger earthquake up above. And I showed that to you guys in my video here one more time from over on Rumble of all places. The hammering, standing wave coming in from underneath that's coming up from the magma down below. Imagine this happening in the magma down below over hundreds, if not thousands of miles. And the wave focuses in on itself and then hammers into the underside of the plate. The full force of the fluid then going into the solid underneath. Boom. Big deep earthquake hits on the underside of the plate. Then it spreads out through the tank. And the more you hammer in, imagine it like this. Each one of these waves is caused by a new deep earthquake down below. And then it spreads out through the tank and reaches a reflection point and reflects back into itself and starts to build an amplitude. And these go from 4444 to 5555 to 66666 and so forth up the chain as it reflects into itself. It ultimately tries to reach out and away from where the hammering is. So it's trying to escape out of the tank over to the west, or at least go through the full tank. And at this point, it's going to up and around into Alaska and the United and down into the US, and it's going out across over to Afghanistan and back. You can see it here in 24 hours time. And in 48 hours time, it's a slam dunk, you can see it. And I think that's why they don't show it on the USGS site, 48 hours. Because it would show it. Everybody would tune into the USGS site, and what they would see is a thing of earthquakes going all the way across, stepping stone path style. Somebody would start measuring between them and see that they're related, that their one is spaced out from the other. One final thing. Do not think that one earthquake is causing the other like dominoes falling against each other. They're doing a game of leapfrog. It's this wave I'm telling you about. It's not that one wave's causing the other. It's that each wave combines with each other and then goes to the next spot in the middle down the road. In other words, they're jumping over each other. So it's not that one is causing the other. It's not that one earthquake's causing the other. It's that all these quakes are caused by this wave that's spreading out. And that wave is coming up from down below. And that's one of my biggest discoveries, on top of the cratons, on top of the equal distance spread, that there is a wave that's causing the earthquakes to begin with. And I think it's at the peak of the waves. So when it gets to that peak tension point, boom, earthquake breaks. And they're all the same size going across a huge distance. So earthquakes are not random. They are related to one another, but they are not causing each other. We have to make these differentiations because the professionals are just all over the place, man. They're like a hot mess. You start showing them this stuff. They're like, oh, well, how can one earthquake cause the other? Elasticity and resonance. And they're like, dude, it's not elasticity. It's something else. It's some other kind of wave that's causing the earthquake. They're like, what do you mean? It's another kind of wave. There's no such thing as a large wave that can cause another wave. And I'm like, well, I don't know, man. Maybe you need to look into interferometry and what happens when you cross waves in a scalar. Like the scalar Higgs boson over at CERN. I don't know. I'm not trying to be a know-it-all. I'm not. I'm a high school grad. I just stumbled into this crap. All right. Anyway, much love. 5:56 p.m. Let's go ahead and save this as a video. If the audio cuts out, I'll hear it. We're going to play it back over on YouTube. If it doesn't, then you cut out at your end. And that's so scary to me because, man, somebody doesn't want you to hear it. Somebody doesn't want you to hear it. I don't know. How do you explain it? Now, finally, here's something I want you to hear. Do you have an earthquake plan? Seriously, you're supposed to develop an earthquake plan. You're supposed to know what to do when an earthquake hits. Everybody knows they're supposed to know. Take shelter underneath a table or desk if you're in the Western countries. And if you're overseas in the West Pacific, aside from Japan maybe, you are instructed by your professionals to exit the buildings. So that means hands over the head, something to protect your head from falling debris, and out the door you go to an open, safe area far away from falling buildings, structures, and so forth. That's because of the structures, cinder block and stone stack structures overseas. We all know this. Stone does not hold up well when bending. You try to bend stone, it's gonna break. And these waves, guess what they do? You guessed it, bend the stone. and it breaks the stone. And therefore, when the wave comes up out of the ground and it goes up a rigid surface, it's not going to flex much. And as soon as that cinder block breaks, it's compromised. Anyway, so you guys need to know what to do when an earthquake hits. I'm not lecturing you. I'm just reminding you. Now, the emergency kit stuff. This is very, very important for everyone, whether you're over in Indonesia or in California or in Italy. An emergency kit. It's a backpack or a bag, and you keep a change of clothes, a set of shoes, flashlight, batteries, some food and water, and first aid kit. Those are the basics. You will also need your medications if you have medications. You will need your IDs and your documents and all that crap, and you need to put it into a bag and have it ready to go so you can grab it. I know it's a pain in the ass, but you need to do it. You may never use it for the emergency itself. You might just, it might sit there and collect dust. But I can tell you this, I've used my emergency kit for earthquakes, quote unquote, for severe weather, for power outages, even when I lost my car keys and my home keys. I lost my key ring. In there, I've got the extra set, thank God. So it could come in handy. Otherwise, it sits there and you wait to use it for a disaster. And you hope you never have to use it. But you keep it updated. You change the batteries every once in a while in your kit. You update the food. You make sure you have seasonal specific clothes to match the season if you're in an area that gets cold. Indonesia, that is one thing you don't have to worry about, right? At least not yet. If we ever have to worry about the cold in Indonesia, I think I'm just going to sign off, okay? Can I get an amen to that? Guys, we've got snow in Indonesia. I'm out of here. Not really. I'm saying if that happens, that's what's going to happen. 6 p.m. right on the dot. Let's go ahead and save this as a video and upload it to YouTube. Be safe and much love.